The mind has nothing to do with thinking, because its fundamental source is empty. Welcome back. This is Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 322. This is Zen Buddhism, part 19. And I have some good news. This is the Platform Sutra Part 6. And up until now, it's only been, you know, every other episode of the Zen Buddhism playlist. And just a few minutes back, I created a Platform Sutra playlist. Sorry I didn't do it before. For those of you who are following the Platform Sutra, it would make life a lot easier, because this is better read in order, starting from the first one. So if this is your first time checking out the Platform Sutra, you're welcome to stay and just see. You know, if you just kind of want to keep watching the video you're watching, that's fine. Otherwise, you can start with Platform Sutra Part 1 by clicking the playlist that appeared up there in the corner. Unless you're on Safari, because the new update made it so that those links don't pop up. So, yeah. YouTube, Apple, Microsoft, sometimes these guys don't get along. They don't coordinate with each other when they're making their decisions. So they have to kind of adjust and go, well, oh, that messes them up? Well, I don't care, I'm Apple. You know, that kind of thing. So what can you do? You can look in the description below, open out the description, and go down toward the bottom of the description of this video, and there you will still find the link to the Platform Sutra playlist. All right. On the other hand, if you would like to check out the Zen Buddhism playlist, of which this is a part, you can click right there and start with episode 1 with the partial movie reaction to the 2009 movie Zen, which was available for free on YouTube for 17 years, and then was apparently purchased by a different distributor who is now enforcing strictly their copyright. So you can't watch the biography of Ehe Dogen on YouTube anymore. So there's that. But you can watch about 20 minutes of my reaction. Anyway, it doesn't matter. These things are neither here nor there. So I hope you're having a wonderful day so far. And can you hear the cicadas outside? Maybe not. I probably have some music playing, don't I? Okay. I guess that's all the preamble necessary. And we'll go ahead and... Oh, was there something new that I should mention? Perhaps. I started a new channel called Buddhist Books B-Sides, which the link is there if you want to click through and subscribe real quick. The goal is that on that channel we're going to be reading The 14 Dalai Lamas and Melinda Panna, and we're going to alternate back and forth. But it's not going to take away too much from our regular schedule. It's the idea is that every 5 episodes of Buddhist Books Podcast, we'll do 1 episode of B-Sides. So it's as if the 10-sided clock has become a 12-sided clock. I considered making it a 12-sided clock, but the thing with the way it is now is the numbers on the clock match the numbers on the Buddhist Books Podcast episode. So today is episode 322, and so it's 2, and 2 is Platform Sutra. So if I made it 12 instead of 10, that'd throw that whole thing off. So rather than do that, I created a separate channel called Buddhist Books B-Sides. Does it all make sense? All right, that's what you came here for, right? Okay, so I'm going to pick up right where we left off last time, so I'm assuming that you're all caught up, and you've seen the first 5 Platform Sutra recitals. Here we go. 37. The master said, quote, good friends, If all of you recite this verse and practice in accordance with it, even if you are 1,000 li away from me, you will always be in my presence. If you do not practice it, even if we are face to face, we will always be 1,000 li apart. Each of you yourselves must practice it. The Dharma doesn't wait for you. All right. I think that the... Okay, so that whole verse was in the end of the previous episode. So tune in to part 5 for that. Let us disperse for a while. I am going back to Mount Tsaochi. If any of you have great doubt, come to that mountain, and I shall resolve that doubt for you, and show you the Buddha world as well. End quote. All the officials, monks, and laymen who were sitting together bowed low before the master, and there was none who did not sigh, quote, "Wonderful, great awakening. These are things we have never heard before. Who would have experienced Ling Nan to be so fortunate as to have had a Buddha born there? Who would have expected Ling Nan?" Okay. End quote. The entire assembly dispersed. 38. The master went to Mount Tsaochi, and for over 40 years converted the people in Shaochou and Kuangchou. If one were to talk about the number of his disciples, to say several thousand people, both monks and laymen, would not do it justice. If one were to talk about the pivot of his teachings, it lies in the transmission of the Platform Sutra. It's the thing we're reading right now. And this serves as the authority. Unless a person has received the Platform Sutra, he has not received the sanction. The place, date, and the name of the recipient must be made known, and these are attached to it when it is transmitted. Someone who does not have the Platform Sutra and the sanction is not a disciple of the Southern School. Okay, please, in the comments below, comment your name and place. You don't need to comment the date because that'll automatically be included in the comment, but you can. And then, having received the Platform Sutra by way of this recital, and having given your name and place, you will be officially a member of the Southern School. Someone who has not yet obtained sanction, even though he preaches the doctrine of sudden enlightenment, does not know the basic teachings, and in the end will not be able to avoid disputes. Those who have the Dharma should practice it wholeheartedly, for disputations show a contentious mind and are a betrayal of the way. Okay. 39. People in the world all say, quote, "In the south, Nang. In the north, Hsu." Bless you. Sorry. End quote. And then there's a footnote for that. See introduction. I kind of remember that. Editor Edward, could you play that bit? Although people from the south and people from the north differ, there is no north and south in Buddha nature. All right, cool. A little bit of work for Editor Edward to do. But they do not know the basic reason. The Chan master, Hsu, practiced as head priest of the Yu Chuan temple in Tongyang, Hsien, in Qingnan Fu, present day Tongyang, Hsien, Hupei, if you were wondering. The master Hui Nang lived at Mount Tsao Chi, 35 li east of the capital of Shaochou. The editor, Edward, could you put above my head a conversion from li to kilometers so we kind of have an idea of what we're talking about? Okay. So if you do the if you do that chant from part five, then you are right next to him, even if you're 1,000 of those away from him. Is that right? Yes. And even if you're face-to-face, if you do not do that chant, then you might as well be 1,000 li away, or you are 1,000 or something like that. Now you have an idea. Okay. The Dharma is one teaching, but people are from north and south, so southern and northern schools have been established. What is meant by gradual and sudden? The Dharma itself is the same, but in seeing it, there is a slow way and a fast way. Seen slowly, it is the gradual. Seen fast, it is the sudden. Bracket parentheses teaching and bracket parentheses. Dharma is without sudden or gradual, but some people are keen and others dull. Hence the names sudden and gradual. End quote. 40. The teacher Shen Hsu one day heard someone talking about the swiftness of Hui Neng's Dharma and his direct pointing at the way. Hsu then called his disciple, the monk Chi Chang, and said, quote, "You're bright and of wide knowledge. You are bright and of wide knowledge. Go for me to Mount Sao Chi, and when you get to Hui Neng's place, make obeisance to him and just listen. Don't tell him I've sent you, but just listen to the essentials of his teaching, memorize them, and come back and tell me. Then I'll be able to tell which of our understandings is the swifter. And at all costs, come back quickly, or else I will be angry." End quote. All right. Chi Chang was delighted to carry out this mission, and after about half a month, reached Mount Tsao Chi. He saw the priest Hui Nang, made obeisance to him, and listened without saying from where he had come. Chi Chang heard the Dharma and was at once enlightened and awakened to his original mind. Arising, he bowed low and said, quote, "Master, I have come from Yuchuan Temple, but under my teacher Hsu, I have been unable to gain awakening. But now, on hearing your sermon, I have awakened to my original mind. I wish that in your compassion you would give me instruction." End quote. Hui Nang said, quote, "If you come from that place, then you are probably a spy." Yeah. End quote. Bracket parentheses, Chi Chang answered, quote, "No, I'm not," end quote. The master said, quote, "Why not?" End quote. End bracket parentheses. And there's a footnote, supplied from Kotoji. Oh, so they inserted something that was added later. Fair enough. Chi Chang said, quote, "When as yet you hadn't preached your sermon to me, I was a spy." But now that you have preached, I'm not. It's the old, yes, I was spying on you when... You've seen The Naked Gun, right? Priscilla Presley. He's basically Priscilla Presley in this exchange. End quote. The sixth patriarch said, quote, quote within quotes, the very passions are enlightenment, and, quote unquote, is also like this, end quote. The very passions are enlightenment is like when I came to you, I was a spy, but now I'm not. Now that you've preached, I'm not. That's interesting. Something to think about. It's not immediately jumping out to me as, oh, that means this. All right. 41. The master said to Chi Chang, quote, I hear that your teacher instructs people only by handing down precepts, meditation, and wisdom. What are the precepts, meditation, and wisdom that he teaches? Oh, now he's a double agent. Now he's a spy for the guy he was going to spy on. You know, I can't think of a role that Priscilla Presley has played that exactly matches that. But anyway. Oh, no, I guess... Never mind. Okay. End quote. Chi Chang answered, quote, The priest Hsu explains them in this way. Not to commit the various evils is the precepts. To practice all the many good things is wisdom. To purify one's own mind is meditation. These he calls precepts, meditation, and wisdom. And this is the kind of explanation that he gives. What is your own view, master? End quote. The master Hui Nang answered, quote, This explanation is wonderful, but my view is different. End quote. Chi Chang asked, quote, How does it differ? End quote. Hui Nang answered, quote, There is slow seeing and swift seeing. End quote. Chi Chang asked the master to give his explanation of the precepts, wisdom, and meditation. The master said, quote, Listen to my explanation, and you will know my view. The mind ground, not in error. There's a footnote on mind ground. It's a bit long. I'm interested. Mind ground is kind of a fascinating phrase. So we'll do a sidebar then. We'll start over that sentence. Okay, you ready? Hsin Ti is the Chinese. It is defined in the Tzu Tang Chi under the biography of Nan Yue Huai Zhang. Quote, Ma Tzu made obeisance to the master Huai Zhang and asked, quote within quotes, What should I do with my mind to attain the state of formless samadhi? End quote within quotes. The master answered, quote within quotes, You should understand the doctrine of the mind ground, which teaches that this mind ground is as if planted with seeds. When I expound the essentials of the Dharma to you, it will be like rain falling upon that ground, because the circumstances of your makeup join with the rain. Therefore, you are able to see the way. End quote. Okay, see the last verse in section 49. Oh, we're on section 41. I'm not going to skip to verse 49, but we'll keep in mind the last verse of section 49, eh? All right. I'll let you know when we get to it. I'll try to. Okay. Back to the sentence that the mind ground, not in error. So the master is speaking to the former spy. The mind ground, not in error, is the precept of self-nature. The mind ground, undisturbed, is the meditation of self-nature. The mind ground, not ignorant, is the wisdom of self-nature. End quote. Master Hui Nang said, quote, Your precepts, meditation, and wisdom are to encourage people of shallow capacities. Mine are for men of superior attachments. Because the awakening of self-nature is the pivot of my teaching, I don't even set up precepts, meditation, and wisdom, end quote. So that was one version of it. Apparently the original version, or I'm not sure. Instead of because the awakening of self-nature is the pivot of my teaching, I don't even set up precepts, meditation, and wisdom. What it actually said, or someone changed it, someone added something at some point. The original sentence there was, the awakening of self-nature. I don't even set up precepts, meditation, and wisdom. So someone helpfully added, because, and is the pivot of my teaching to... Never mind. Chi Chang said, quote, please explain what you mean by not set up, end quote. Okay. The master said, quote, self-nature is without error, disturbance, and ignorance. Every thought puts forth the radiance of prana, wisdom, and when one is always separated from the form of things, what is there that can be set up? Self-awakening to self-nature, and sudden practice with sudden awakening. There is nothing gradual in them, so that nothing at all is set up. End quote. Chi Chang bowed deeply and did not leave Mount Tsao Chi. He became a disciple and never departed from the master's side. 42. There was another priest by the name of Fa Ta. Footnote. Okay. This is the oldest known reference to this man. Okay. Who had been reciting the Lotus Sutra continuously for 7 years, but his mind was still deluded, and he did not know where the true Dharma lay. Going to Mount Tsao Chi, he bowed and asked, quote, I have doubts about the Sutra, and because the Master's wisdom is great, I beg him to resolve my doubts. End quote. The master said, quote, Fa Ta, you are very proficient in the Dharma, but your mind is not proficient. You may have no doubts in so far as the sutras are concerned, but your mind itself doubts. You are searching for the true Dharma with falsehood in your mind. If your own mind were correct and fixed, you would be a man who has taken the sutra to himself. Checking out the footnotes, this term appears in the Lotus Sutra in the sense of one who receives, holds, and takes to himself the teachings of the Lotus Sutra doctrine. All right. Quote, I have never in my life known written words, but if you bring a copy of the Lotus Sutra and read it to me, upon hearing it, I will understand it at once, end quote. So the master said this advice without being familiar with the Lotus Sutra.
Okay, all right.
I've said a lot of things about the Lotus Sutra before I read the Lotus Sutra, and then longtime viewers or people who are somewhat familiar and have clicked around on Buddhist Books Podcast know that once I read the Lotus Sutra, it wasn't what I expected, and then it changed the course and led to all this behind me. I'll get back to it. I will. One day. Fa Ta brought the Lotus Sutra and read it to the master. Hearing it, the sixth patriarch understood the Buddha's meaning and then discoursed on the Lotus Sutra for the sake of Fa Ta. The sixth patriarch said, quote, Fa Ta, the Lotus Sutra does not say anything more than is needed. Okay. Throughout all its 7 chuan, it gives parables and tales about causation. Carl, sorry, for those watching some of my other programs, he has this whole thing about, in the West, we think causation is a thing. In the East, it's all about synchronicity. So, no. Check out Buddhism, Carl Jung. He's passed away, so I guess I'm a little late to give him advice about that. But then he might say, but I was talking about I Ching. I was talking about Chinese things. Buddhism isn't originally Chinese. And I'd say, Carl. All right. This isn't about that. I'm sorry. I'll keep reading. The Tathagata's preaching of the three vehicles was only because of the dullness of people in the world. The words of the sutra clearly state that there is only one vehicle of Buddhism and that there is no other vehicle. End quote. The master said, quote, Fatha, listen to the one Buddha vehicle and do not seek two vehicles, or your nature will be deluded. Where in the sutra do we find this one Buddha vehicle? Let me explain it to you. The sutra says, quote, within quotes, the various Buddhas and the world-honored one appeared in this world because of one great causal event, and quote, within quotes, the above 16 characters are the true Dharma. That's according to bracket parentheses. Oh, that's a note in the original text. Interesting. How do you come to understand this Dharma? How do you practice this Dharma? Listen, and I shall explain to you. The mind has nothing to do with thinking, because its fundamental source is empty. Ooh, I like that. There's a footnote next to it. The first part of this passage is difficult to follow, and the translation uncertain. The phrase Kong Chi Pen Yuan, found in the Tun Huang, which is, that's what this is, right? Yes. Makes little sense. However, in the Pu Ti Tsin Lu, or Lun, translated by Amoghavajra between 746 and 774, we find the phrase Hsin Yuan Kong Chi, the mind as the source of the 10,000 things, is empty. And it may possibly be that this was intended here. The term Hsin Yuan is also to be found in the Ta Chang Tzu. That footnote wasn't helpful. It is called ultimate enlightenment because one has awakened to the source of the mind. Okay, good enough. To discard false views, this is the one great causal event. If within and without you are not deluded, then you are apart from duality. If on the outside you are deluded, you cling to form. If on the inside you are deluded, you cling to emptiness. If within form you are apart from form, and within emptiness you are separated from emptiness, then within and without you are not deluded. If you awaken to this Dharma, in one instant of thought your mind will open and you will go forth in the world. What is it that the mind opens? It opens Buddha's wisdom, and the Buddha means enlightenment. Separately considered, there are four gates: the opening of the wisdom of enlightenment, the instruction of the wisdom of enlightenment, the awakening of the wisdom of enlightenment, and the entering into the wisdom of enlightenment. This is called opening, instructing, awakening, and entering. Entering from one place, this is the wisdom of enlightenment, and with this you see into your own nature and succeed in transcending the world. End quote. So there's a footnote on opening, instructing, awakening, and entering. In the Lotus Sutra, we find the following passage. Shariputra, why did the various Buddhas and the world-honored one... What? Just because of one great causal event, appear in the world. The various Buddhas and world-honored one appeared in the world because they wanted to open the Buddha's wisdom for sentient beings and enable them to become pure. Because they wanted to instruct sentient beings in the wisdom of Buddha, they appeared in the world. Because they wanted to bring awakening of Buddha's wisdom to sentient beings, they appeared in the world. Because they wanted to have sentient beings enter into the way of Buddha's wisdom, they appeared in the world. End quote. The four stages mentioned here correspond to the four gates described in the Tun Huang text, or the Platform Sutra. Okay, fair enough. The master said, quote, Fatha, it is my constant wish that all the people in the world will always themselves open the wisdom of the Buddha in their own mind grounds. Do not cultivate the wisdom of sentient beings. The people of the world have errors in their minds, create evil with stupidity and delusions, and thus cultivate the wisdom of sentient beings. If people in the world are correct in their minds, they will give rise to wisdom and illuminate it. and open up for themselves the wisdom of the Buddha. Do not open up the wisdom of sentient beings! Exclamation point. Open up the wisdom of the Buddha, and then transcend the world. End quote. The master said, quote, Fatha, this is the one vehicle dharma of the Lotus Sutra. Later on in the sutra, the Buddha's teaching is divided into three vehicles in order to benefit the deluded. Depend only on the one Buddha vehicle, end quote. The master said, quote, if you practice with the mind, you turn the lotus. If you do not practice with the mind, you are turned by the lotus. Unclear, the footnote says. No, that was something else. Chuan Fa Hua and Fa Hua Chan. Actually, Chuan, to turn, here means Chuan Tu, to recite or to read. So if you read the lotus. Oh, so if you use the mind, you read the lotus. If you don't use the mind, the lotus reads you. In Russia. Lotus reads. I don't do a good enough Russian accent to make that. People used to joke about, you know, in never mind. If your mind is correct, you will turn the lotus. If your mind is incorrect, you will be turned by the lotus. What? Okay, so you're supposed to use the mind. You're supposed to read the lotus, not be read by the lotus. I guess. I don't know. I'll keep reading. If the wisdom of the Buddha is opened, you will turn the lotus. If the wisdom of sentient beings is opened, you will be turned by the lotus. Okay, that's interesting. I'm just sort of like abstractly relating that to. So perhaps when I was reading the Lotus Sutra 3 years ago, I was coming with the quote-unquote wisdom of sentient beings, and so I was turned by the lotus, and as a result ended up reading the Tipitaka. So, whatever that, I don't know. Okay. End quote. The master said, quote, if you practice the Dharma with great effort, this then is turning the sutra. End quote. Fata, upon hearing this, at once gained great enlightenment, and broke into tears. Quote, Master, end quote, he said, quote, indeed, up to now I have not turned the lotus, but for 7 years I have been turned by it. From now on I shall turn the lotus, and in consecutive thoughts practice the practice of the Buddha. End quote. The master said, quote, the very practice of Buddha, this is Buddha. End quote. Among those in his audience at that time, there was none who was not enlightened. So, today we read chapter 37 through 42. And next time, when we get to the Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 332, we'll get back to the Platform Sutra, and we'll begin with 43. And I'll try to remember to keep an eye on 49, because that footnote said, so there was something in 49, but I don't remember what it was. All right. Thank you for tuning in for this one. Don't forget to comment with your name and location. Not your exact address. Don't dox yourself, but country is enough. Then you will be technically, according to the letter of what he said, part of the Southern School. And I would only say that one, I'm being silly, though you're welcome to comment. I mean, if you want to play along. But two, even though you will then technically be part of the Southern School, remember, although people from the South and people from the North differ, there is no North and South in Buddha nature. Yes, that. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and do our usual closing here on Buddhist Books Podcast. And, I'm going to do something a little unusual and do an end screen today. So if you stay till the end, you'll get a link in the middle of the screen, and it'll say the 14 Dalai Lamas. So you can click that. And when you get there, be sure to hit subscribe, because that's a separate channel, Buddhist Books B-Sides. So this Buddhist Book podcast is now also known as Buddhist Books A-Sides. When you're on B-Sides, it refers to A-Sides. So, okay, here we go. To the north and to the south. To the east and to the west. To the spirits of light among us and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Until next time. So this is the, you can click that, click it, and then you'll go, why are you just watching me sit here telling you to click it, go on, click it, all right.